Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Doors on 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Katie Service, and this is a recap of all of the news from the University of Connecticut from this past week. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run television station, UCTV. Husky Nation News is a broadcast that informs the public about recent news and events within and around the UConn area. It will include original reports from the WHUS News Committee, the Daily Campus, and news packages from UCTV. We will also be discussing local and global news, what events are coming up in the store's Mansfield areas, and we'll provide some insight on UConn's fall athletic teams. So we're going to get right into it this morning. The construction on the brand new School of Nursing building is underway, and with the college's relocation, it was time for a renaming. The School of Nursing is to be named after Elizabeth DeLuca, the UConn alum who gifted $50 million to develop the program. The donation is expected to expand student access to clinical trials and modern resources for students, as reported by the WHUS news writer Renaya Johnson. DeLuca's donation is one of UConn's largest, and according to UConn Today, the new building will feature instructional spaces, a lecture hall, a nurse simulation learning center, research center, a center for student success, study rooms, and resource spaces. Now transitioning to a new state tax credit program that benefits taxpayers and UConn athletic programs. News writer Nishan Livingston reported that the UConn Division of Athletics recently announced its plan to launch a state tax credit program that will provide taxpayers credit equal up to 50% of qualifying payments made in support to UConn athletics programs. Residents are capped at receiving $500,000 in tax credits with an aggregate program cap of $5 million per calendar year. This program is an effort to secure additional revenue streams following the changes in college athletics. Among qualifying payments to receive these tax credits include donations of at least $5,000 to the newly created Store Strong Fund that can be accessed via UConn's Marketplace website or established pledge agreements, licensing and endorsing agreements through student-athlete name, image, and likeness worth at least $5,000. The taxpayer must receive permission from the school, and sponsorship agreements worth at least $25,000. UConn is set to share $18 million of its athletic revenue in the first year of this settlement, and the credit is only applicable, to offset state tax liabilities in Connecticut. This program is only available to Connecticut residents who opt into the program. Now getting into our friends over at the Daily Campus, lawmakers in Rhode Island have pushed against the renaming of workforce Pell Grants as in a proposal that was a part of an appropriations bill and has been stalled in the Senate, as reported by the Daily Campus's Michaela Bunnell. The bill originated in a Republican-led Labor, Health and Human Services, Education and Related Agencies bill, and the House Appropriations Committee stated the renaming of the grants would, quote, reflect President Donald Trump's commitment to growing the American workforce and expanding opportunities for American workers, end quote, in a press release. The Workforce Pell Grant is the newest addition to the program, appearing shortly after the signing of Trump's Big Beautiful Bill in July. Starting July 1st of 2026, students must meet the requirements of a federal Pell Grant and also be accepted to or enrolled in eligible career training programs to be eligible for a Workforce Pell Grant. The Pell Grant originated in Rhode Island in honor of Senator Claiborne Pell, who was the longest-serving senator from the state. Pell served for 36 years and was an advocate for eliminating financial barriers for higher education. The following data is attributed to the Daily Campus article. In 2024, 34% of the undergraduate students in the U.S. received a Pell Grant, according to the Education Data Initiative. 88% of Pell Grant funds go to public universities, like the University of Connecticut. 77,065 Connecticut undergraduates received this grant, with an average of $4,466 per recipient. The name change of the grant is yet to be approved, because the bill is stalled in the Senate due to the government shutdown. The Senate adjourned Wednesday with no plan to reopen the government, and senators return on Friday to cast another vote on legislation to reopen the government for 7 weeks. Now we're going to throw the mic over to Assistant News Director Rhea Kowalski. Rhea, what is going on in stores this week?
Okay, so kind of an interesting update. Breaks are kind of far away, I'm sorry to say, but something to look forward to on top of break is that the UConn bus system is adding a new bus route called the College Break Bus, where students will have the option to take the bus back during Thanksgiving, winter, and spring breaks. This bus service will feature stops across the East Coast in Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, and New York. And the pickup location will be the UConn Fieldhouse. UConn says that they prioritize safety when choosing the bus service to partner with. They only partnered with the highest safety rated buses from the Department of Transportation. The company is primarily partnered with the motor coach company Star, which is a company that has worked with other universities such as Syracuse University, Penn State, West Virginia University, and Carnegie Mellon University. This company has partnered with DATCO, which is a Connecticut-based bus operator who has also been used for the UConn athletics team. The article also stresses the reason for these buses were from feedback from students, and that the idea had originally stemmed from a New Jersey route that they had offered in the past. Next story is from UConn Today, and the School of Social Work was awarded $2.4 million in hopes of addressing the behavioral health crisis. It is said that there has been an ongoing health crisis and behavioral crisis, with 1 in 5 adolescents and children struggling with mental, emotional, or behavioral stress issues. This has caused for an overflow of cases in professional help settings and long wait times for those who are seeking help. As a part of the grant, the principal investigator, John Phillips, will be launching a behavioral health scholars program where each year 17 master's students in social work will be selected as behavioral health scholars. The program will be students receiving additional coursework, intensive practices and placements, and faculty mentorship. Phillips says that there's a great deal of students at UConn who care about behaviors and families, and that they can help people get the help that they need. They also hope that the program will improve behavioral outcomes for Connecticut's youth and kids. The selection for this program will begin during this semester of fall 2025. Okay, then another story from the Daily Campus is about a tick outbreak that has been spreading across UConn campus, assumably the store's campus. Late fall and early springtime is when tick season is super high, and according to the Connecticut Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Laboratory, they've also observed a considerable amount of ticks that have been tested within the last 5 years who carry a various amount of diseases, including Lyme disease. A symptom from a bite can include headache, fever, vomiting, neurological involvement, and seizures, but vary by species. That's all that I have for local news. Back to Katie.
Thank you, Rhea. And I did not know about that with tick season, so thank you so much for letting us all know to be on the lookout for that. Now, to get into your global news update for this week, the government shutdown. I think everyone's kind of aware of it happening, or at least is somewhat aware of the news surrounding it. But for those that don't know, on Wednesday this week, the federal government shut down. Senators will be returning to the Capitol to vote to approve government funding on the third day of the shutdown, which is today. But because the Republicans control both chambers of Congress, and the Senate filibuster's rules make it necessary for the government funding legislation to gain support from at least 60 of the 100 senators, it's going to be an interesting discussion. So as more information comes out about the shutdown, we will be sure to report on it for you all right here on Husky Nation News. Now we're going to be throwing the mic over to our sports director, Vinny Carbone. Vinny, what's going on in the realm of sports this week?
A lot of things, Katie, actually. First off, it's getting a little chillier out, so that's good. That's prime football season when There's a little breeze and some snow maybe soon. Maybe. I don't know if you guys like snow, but
I don't think we want the snow yet.
Maybe not yet. UConn gets pretty windy, but welcome back to Carbone's Court. You've all entered Carbone's Court. I'm Vinny Carbone, your host. Let's get right into it. Let's start with women's soccer. They added one win and one loss to the record since last week. They now sit at 6-3-2. They lost to number 21 ranked Georgetown on the road last Saturday. Despite allowing two goals, freshman keeper Ava Yamas made a season/career-high 6 saves. And to finish off their two-game road trip, UConn went to Providence, Rhode Island to take on the Friars. They took this one 1-0, with the lone goal being scored in the 24th minute. After two block shots, UConn finally broke through the Friars' defense as Choma Okafor sent one in the back of the net. It was probably a little bit outside the 18 box. It was a great shot for her fourth goal of the season. UConn plays Creighton tomorrow at 6:30 on Breast Cancer Awareness Night. Now for men's soccer. They unfortunately picked up their second loss of the season, and it came in dramatic fashion this Saturday night as they welcomed, last Saturday night as they welcomed Villanova to campus. After taking the 1-0 lead in the 57th minute with a Max Gummison goal, which is his first of the season, UConn stayed comfortable with their 1-0 lead, perhaps too comfortable. Then, with 2 minutes remaining in the game, Villanova scored the equalizer, shocking the sold-out crowd at Joseph J. Brony Field. But it gets worse. Less than 60 seconds later, the Wildcats had yet another opportunity and scored again in the 89th minute. Two goals in the 88th and 89th minute. There's only 90 minutes in a soccer game. So literally in the last 2 minutes, Villanova stole this one from UConn 2-1. UConn now falls to 6-2-3 and plays tonight at 7 p.m. against Creighton. UConn football had another thriller that ended with a final differential score of less than one score. This time they beat Buffalo at their home field 20-17. The hero last Saturday was UConn kicker Chris Freeman, who nailed a 44-yard field goal with only a few seconds remaining on the clock to give UConn the win. Skylar Bell continued where he left off last week with a touchdown on 6 receptions and 54 yards. All around, it was a great all-around game for the Huskies. They just need to begin playing at this consistent level for all 4 quarters. Now, into the final segment of Carbone's Court, the trivia segment. Last week, we asked how many points did Paige Bueckers average in her inaugural regular season in the WNBA? The correct answer was 19.2. So good job if anyone knew that. If you said 19, I'll give it to you. I mean, it's kind of 20. I don't know. It wasn't 20. Not yet. This year, next year she'll average 20. But this week, here's our question. We have the homecoming football game this weekend, and UConn's homecoming has been a tradition for a while. What year was the first ever UConn homecoming? Once again, what year was the first ever UConn homecoming? We'll have that answer for you right here on Carbone's Court next week. I'll send it right back to Katie.
Thank you so much, Vinny. I have no idea what the question to this week's, or the answer to this week's question is. Let me tell you, I knew last week's and I was really proud of myself, but I don't know this week's. But that's okay. Now I gotta figure it out. So now we're gonna be getting over to our special guest for today, USG President Andy Zhang. Andy, how are you?
I'm good. No, thank you guys so much for having me. It's getting colder out, so I feel like everyone's getting a little bit sicker. So I'm also trying to make sure that I'm staying healthy and making sure that we're not falling ill.
That's great. You can't be sick. We need you on Husky Nation News.
And I'm missing out on our wonderful comptroller Billy. You know, he's not here, so I'll have to cover for the both of us today.
Yeah. So I wanted to get started and just ask you, what is going on in USG this week? What new stuff have you been working on?
And I feel like there's been a lot that's happened since I guess I was last on here. We recently had our fall elections, and our fall elections just finished, and we had our new senator class come in, and they're really excited. They're really energized. At our last Senate, we were also able to pass and finalize our budget. So that's all done for now. So I'm really excited to work with this incoming class of senators, because 2 weeks ago I was on here and I was talking about how I really believe that you can do anything that you want as long as you're given the resources and tools to succeed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited to continue meeting with these senators and kind of working with them and helping them achieve their advocacy goals. Because I remember when I was a senator, I felt really lost working within like a really large institution as UConn. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really hoping that I can help them and kind of get them started in their own advocacy goals and kind of get them started on their own journey. There's also been a lot of work done on our own initiatives. I think we're almost seeing the end of one of the first things that we decided to do. Over the summer, we wanted to try and find a prayer space for Hindu students. And so this is a project that I thought would honestly take a really, really long time. But after meeting with a lot of administrators, I think our expected timeline is that we're going to be able to find a space for the start of spring. So by the spring semester, we're going to be able to find a prayer space for Hindu students, which is something that I'm really excited about. We're also starting to meet with other student leaders and also other student governments across both UConn and also across the state. And so it's been really a lot of fun because I've been focusing a lot on community building. And so I feel like I've seen community building within USG with both our new senators, but then also just yesterday, me, the dean of students, the president of UConn Waterbury, the president of UConn Avery Point, the president of UConn Stanford, we all met and we have our weekly bi-weekly meetings, and it's really fun to kind of hear about all the cool programs that are going down there. I guess I learned this yesterday, but at UConn Waterbury they have an OLLI program where I guess no students, I guess the only students that come to class on Fridays are those that are older age or I guess elderly, and so all the I guess the RH students don't go on campus, and so it's just those students that take classes, which is really cool. And they're also telling me about the fact that they also have something called, I don't remember the exact name, but it's essentially working with middle schoolers and helping them get excited about medicine and get excited about health. And so it's been really fun learning more about what the other campuses do and I guess all the different initiatives that they're focusing on. And then also in broader alignment, we're trying to make sure that we can form some sort of larger Connecticut student association with other student governments across the state, and to give us like a broader voice in the capital, and also to make sure that we're connected to other student governments. And so I just came from a meeting with the Central Connecticut State University's president and vice president, and they're super nice, they're super awesome, and it's been really fun meeting with these student leaders, and I think learning more about their own elections, learning more about their structure, and it's really fascinating because our USG here works a little bit interestingly, where We all there's almost like six presidents in a way, where I don't really have control over other departments. Like in other ways, like you usually have the president at the top and they oversee everyone. But the way that it works here is that if a president, comptroller, chief diversity officer, speaker of the Senate, and chief justice, and we kind of are our own heads of our own departments. So even though I'm the president, I really don't have any jurisdiction over the comptroller, over the chief diversity officer. So it's always fun for me to hear, I guess, how other student governments have their structure and what they're up to.
Yeah. Are there any other undergraduate student governments in the state that you're interested in meeting with?
Yeah, and so I'm splitting it up into both public and private. So right now, I'm really excited to meet the four state colleges, so Eastern, Western, Central, and Southern. And I think I'm also excited to meet a lot of the private colleges. I think both the myriad of the private and the public colleges will be able to come together and have a lot of different perspectives to come and talk. And so more than anything, I just want us to kind of be able to have this connection and also learn from each other. Because I mean, you guys probably know this as being part of WISP, but like when you're part of any of these large tier three organizations, so much of the battle or so much of like getting to where you want to go is like having to learn the organization and understand like how it works in the first place. And so I think here at USG, we spend so much of our time just learning the organization, learning our committees, learning our bylaws. And by the time we actually have that up and running, and by the time we actually want to do something, it's a little bit too late for it. And so I hope that this would also help expedite that process and make it so that we're able to learn how to be better advocates faster, rather than having to wait like until you graduate, and, you know, and then you can't do anything.
Yeah, and to kind of build off that, like you're talking about creating this sense of community and establishing it sooner, but also the advocacy track. And you mentioned earlier that you guys have been working on some advocacy plans over the summer. So was that primarily through returning members of USG, and also what stuff are you guys working on?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I guess it's been fun for me because there's a challenge when you become president, right? Because when you're going from any other position in USG, that's, unless it's vice president to president, right? The scale of what you can do in the world that you enter is really different. Like, it's been a really weird shift for me to go, or really not weird, but really interesting shift for me to kind of end up on this spectrum of the university, where I'm learning a lot about how they budget, how they do these priorities, how they do the academic policies, and talking to them. Like, I know that right now they're considering creating a W task force to kind of reevaluate the W standards and talk about that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting to be on this other side of the university and seeing how all this change happens. And so initially when I got into this role, I'll be honest, I was quite lost for a while in March and April and May. I was really like, I don't really know what I want to do. I really know what I can do. And so a lot of it has been just been throwing darts and hoping something sticks. But I think now I'm feeling a lot more confident in what we're doing and what we're planning out. We just had a professional clothing closet that just opened again in the spring. And so it opened right on the day of the career fair, which works out because as we are all students, we know that we usually wait to the last minute to get these things. So it works out that it opened on the first day so that you can just go to there, get your clothing, and then go right to the career fair. And so that's been really successful. And it's been a really fun partnership with Goodwill.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of really positive statements from a lot of students, a lot of undergrads as well.
Yeah.
From just like really appreciating the new credit system that you guys implemented.
Yes. I know I think it's such a smart shift to go from 3 credits to 11 credits, like three articles of clothing to 11 credits because, it just makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And it's also a lot of fun because even in that aspect, right? I think I reposted it on my story, and I think I know the Duke student body president, and they swiped up, and we had a meeting with them, and we talked to them about how they could start their own. And so it's so much fun. I think being in connection with other student government leaders because. Like, truthfully, like, all our issues that we're facing aren't really that the most unique, right? We're all facing relatively the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to reinvent the wheel every single time we face an issue. All we need to do is we just need to try and find out who figured out the solution and how do we replicate that here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a lot of fun getting to know more student government leaders and kind of see what they're all doing and see how they're all working because, honestly, like, a lot of it is just stealing ideas from others and working with them and, like, kind of learning what they're doing. And so it's been a lot of fun. I've also been trying to place a lot of emphasis on our organizational support services.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our OSS staff, and so usually these are the people that take our minutes every single meeting, and they upload the minutes. They also sit at the desk. So if you ever come to the USG office and you wanted to get printing, if you ever had a question, if you wanted to ever get your locker keys, these are the people you talk to. And so in addition to those responsibilities, I want to try and make sure that they have some more advocacy or more, I guess, more organizational support that they do within their roles because... I think they can do more than just being desk shifts and also being minute editors. And so something that we're trying to do right now is I'm trying to work with them to create a resource that is for students by students. And so I hope that it's going to be something that is fun and it kind of contains all these miscellaneous things that people know about but don't really, isn't really the most apparent. And so stuff like the fact that there's a sewing machine at the bottom of the library, stuff like the fact that you can rent a bicycle from... rent a bicycle from the UConn Rec.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, the fact that you can just get whatever food you want from dining. You just need to ask for it. And so, like, I remember I was so frustrated as, like, a vegan student last year and a vegetarian student my sophomore year that I just couldn't get any food.
Right.
And so, but once you talk to the dining staff, you realize that they're really accommodating. You realize that they want to help you get the food that you want. It's been really cool to learn that they have, like, a just ask policy where, like, if you want, for example, I think it was if you want pancakes in the morning was the example he gave. If you want pancakes in the morning but they don't have pancakes, you can just go up and ask. Like they'll make things for
really?
You, right? They'll make things for you, right?
Wow.
And so like it's really cool where like you're really accommodating, but like you just need to ask them, right? And so I think there's so many things within the university that are very small niches that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, they can really radically change, I guess, your university experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that we can aggregate some sort of university resource manual to send to students because I think this information is so interesting and so fascinating. And I think it's one of those things where, like, all this information transfers by word to mouth, but I wish there was some more standardized or formalized structure that we could be sharing this information because I think it could be so beneficial to so many students. And so I'm really hoping that they're able to take a stronger lead in, like, aggregating and organizing and working with these organizations because... I hope it'll make them. I hope it'll give some more excitement and joy to the role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I really love hearing this idea that you have. How would you promote this to students? Like, would this be like through an email? Is this gonna be through social media? Like, is it gonna be a pamphlet? Like, how are you gonna get all of this information to students in a way that will be more effective than what it's been in the past?
Yeah, and I think this has been an interesting question for me as well because something that I really wanted to do, like within that vein, is like.
Mm-hmm.
Working with other organizations and working with other tier threes especially, like, I think something that I think is really cool is that all our organizations do really interesting and fascinating things, and so I think we have so much information between us that I want us to figure out, like, how can we best, like, communicate with all these different channels, right? Because something that I'm also learning is that people get their information in so many different ways. Like, I'm sure people listen to Husky Nation News. I'm sure people read the Day Campus. I'm sure people kind of just talk to their friends and figure things out, and so it's really nice that I think I'm getting to know the other tier threes better because I think it helps me understand how to communicate better and communicate more effectively. And so while, of course, we have like the broader email listservs, we have the Daily Digest, we have all those things, right? I think these informal networks are really like where the information really, 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 really moves fastest. And so it's been really fun for me to figure out as well, like, how do we give information to students without overburdening them, right? Because students get so much information every single day, like with the Daily Digest, with their classes, with their announcements, with their emails. Like, it's really easy to get overwhelmed. And so I think that's been a challenge that I've definitely been thinking about, and I know that a lot of administrators are thinking about, right? Because even with housing coming up in the fall, right, I've been talking with the director of housing, and they're also worried about, like, if we're going to send out housing dates, if we're going to send out information about off-campus housing, how do we make sure it doesn't get lost? How do we make sure that the people who actually need it or get it, right? And so this whole idea of, like, sharing information and how to do it in the most effective way has been something that we've been thinking about a lot, and so I'm hopefully we'll have some sort of a solution soon in the future.
Yeah, I know the information distribution can definitely be tricky on a college campus. I mean, you're right, there are so many different outlets that are available to people, and you know, some people just don't check their emails.
Yes.
I feel like emails are like a very crucial element when it comes to being a college student, so that's your reminder to check your email this morning, however many you have.
I agree. I think that especially when like it's midterm week, right? I think everything else really falls apart, and so like us as students, we have like a million things going on, right? And so I'm always shocked by how much everyone does, because we have academics, we have our own personal lives, we have extracurriculars, and so it's fascinating to see that people can balance so much, just because I don't know, the classes are so much as sometimes, so I'm so surprised that people are able to put so much on top of it.
Yeah. How have your midterms been going?
Oh.
We'll go around the room. We'll have everyone share a little bit. How's midterms treating you?
You know, my midterms haven't been the worst. I planned my classes out in a way that I knew that I wasn't going to... I was going to be spending a majority of my time for USG, and that's like how I wanted to balance it. And so... I only have like a total of 4 courses, and 2 of them are asynchronous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's lucky.
So one of them is asynchronous, and then one of them is an independent study for my thesis course. And then I have 2 other ones, which is one for econ and one for environmental sciences. And so they haven't been the worst. So it's a lot nicer to go from like a 21, 18 credit class schedule to a 12 credit class schedule.
Yeah.
So I've been enjoying the semester academically wise. It's been a really big, nice, it's been a really, really nice shift from previous semesters.
That's great. Yeah, we're going to throw it over to Vinny. Vinny, how have your midterms been?
They've been okay. I've had 2. I just had 1 before this.
I was going to say, didn't you have physics this morning?
Physics 2, yeah. It was, let's be optimistic. It was fine. It was good. It was easy. But I had another 1 yesterday, and that one was a little bit better.
Okay.
But 1 more, or 3 more.
3 more?
In the next few weeks, my next 3 classes.
Oh. All right, Rhea, what about you?
Rhea, what about your midterms, Rhea?
I'm my political theory midterm. I don't know how that went. I feel like it was the first time I ever had to use, like, a blue book, which is, like, people are like, oh, I can't believe you've never used a blue book before, but, like, I was, like, I had 50 minutes to do the test, and I don't know if I cooked the test or if the test cooked me at TBH, but...
Wait, what's a blue book?
Okay, so I'm not the only one.
I was gonna say, do you want me
what's
to explain?
What's a blue book?
A blue book is, like, it's basically, like, a makeshift little notebook, and that's where you're... It's, like, essay questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you just answer
the question you're answering,
mm-hmm. and then you respond to it in an essay format, and I was, like...
It's so... Yeah.
I was, like, how am I supposed to write this, like, long essay in 50... Like, I had to write 3 long essays, and it's, like, I think I only got, like, 2 paragraphs in for each question, so... But I finished,
that's
so...
Good.
That's what matters.
Katie, how's your midterms?
So far, I've had 1. I have a project that I actually won't be present for because I'll be traveling the day that we present it, so I started working on that to get ahead of it. I had 1 midterm yesterday. I thought it was okay. Earth science. If anyone knows me...
Earth 1000E?
No, 1050. Earth 1050. Rocks, man. It's rocks. And... It's okay, though. We conquered it. We got through it. Hopefully, all went okay. I'm eating at my lab, though. So I'm happy, like, I'm doing really well in lab. Lecture, I'm doing okay. I'd like to be doing better, but...
Like,
that's the only class where it's, like, we're kind of, like...
Lab carries your grade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm crushing my lab. Yeah. Every other class, though, has been really chill. I have 2 communications classes, and I have 2 journalism classes, and... The nice thing about being a double major in both of those and CLAS is that we don't really get exams often. So I'm kind of just chilling at the moment. But
that's good.
Awesome.
It's been good.
I'm kind of curious. A lot of the university administration, they've been talking about how to go about this, navigating this like AI use and navigating this blue book use. And I know that like the university is like, I'm really interested to see, I guess, how the university decides this, but. They're thinking about all these different like learning mechanisms. Like one thing that they're considering is like President America said that she was potentially considering that like every student has like 1 asynchronous course every semester.
Really?
And she said that students want that, and I wasn't sure if that was true or not, or I'm curious about the attitudes. But
do we want to pull around the room?
Yeah. asynchronous courses, first of all, I think for me and just for a lot of people, I just have so little motivation to put effort towards those classes when I'm taking other classes that are arguably, that have more information and are arguably more difficult. I just have a really hard time focusing and spending time in those asynchronous classes just because I'm not like, oh, I have class Tuesday, Thursday for this applied linear regression class. I'm going to spend my time in it and I'm going to study because I go to class and I see everyone. I see the teacher in person. But the asynchronous class, I feel like when I don't see the teacher,
I feel
like
it just gets lost.
Yeah, and I forget about it. It gets lost, exactly, and I have no motivation.
This is my second semester taking an asynchronous class. Ironically enough, it's a communications class. I don't know how that makes sense. But I'm taking professional communication right now, and it's only four modules throughout the entire semester. They, like, each span over a month, which I think is nice as long as you're, like, you give yourself benchmarks of, like, this week I need to do this, this week I need to do this, and then over the time, over, like, the span of 4 weeks, you can knock out the entire module without having to do the whole thing the night before it's due. But it definitely was a learning curve when I took my first asynchronous class. I was forgetting about it all the time. It was, it, like, I felt as if, again, like, you don't have that in-person aspect where you aren't always, like, I have class on this day, this day, this day. I need to get this done because I'm going to see this professor.
Exactly.
And I think it's just difficult, I think, to have to remember everything online because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
Can't keep up with it all.
And I forget.
What about you,
Have you taken an asynchronous class, Rhea?
Okay, I've taken, like, half and half asynchronous. Like, it's, like, part of it is synchronous, half of it, or...
Yeah. Like, the hybrid.
Hybrid
the hybrid,
classes.
Yeah.
I've never taken a fully asynchronous class, but, like, my roommates have, and whenever they have, it's, like, they're scrambling, and, like, it's, like... So, I think the benchmarker idea is, like, really smart. I don't know if I personally could take an asynchronous class, because I feel like I do need that, like, explanation.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I just hate emailing my teachers. And, like, I hate
it's
going
so easy to
office
talk to them.
Hours.
It's so easy to
just people. Just people.
Exactly.
But some can be intimidating. I can understand that perspective. I've had some intimidating professors in my past.
And it's funny, because I think the university is considering, because, like... Like, the reason you do it in asynchronous class, in my opinion, isn't because you... Like, the goal isn't for learning, in my opinion. Like, the goal is for a variety of other things. Like, I think one thing is that, like, if you're doing asynchronous courses, you don't have to find classrooms. You don't need to find, like, a 400, 500-room classroom, especially when you have so many students.
True.
Right.
The other thing is also that we're also in a space where, like... More professors are getting larger academic workloads. So if you're in an asynchronous class, it kind of makes it, in my opinion, what I would think intuitively, it makes it easier to teach, right? You can take more classes on, and so, like, it seems like we're trying to find ways to save money, but it could look like it's at the cost of academic success or learning or student success. And so it's also interesting because I know that the university is looking at, like, how to navigate AI use in classrooms, and I don't know if Blue Books in your class, Rhea, were a result of AI use, but it's so interesting to see, like, how it works, because both, like, students, like it's both interesting because they're looking at how students use it, but then also students are looking at how faculty use it, right? Because faculties can use it to use AI, they can use it to write their messages, and so there's just a general distrust. And so the university, I think, has been trying to figure out how to plan around AI and how to incorporate it in a way that doesn't do it. Because some professors are just fully like, we're going to do everything in person, we're going to do nothing online,
right?
And you're going to sit in class every single day. And so it's really interesting for me to think about, I guess, how learning will look like in a year or two now, or how the economic policies will look like for AI.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep tabs on that, and as more is released through the president's office, we'll make sure that we keep you all updated here on Husky Nation News. Well, Andy, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you always, and we're happy to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a wonderful time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who tuned in this morning. I hope everyone's midterms are going well, and I hope that if you have any more upcoming exams, they all go well. Make sure you study well. Hopefully you study. gotta lock in. So a special thank you to our news partners, The Daily Campus, UConn Student Newspaper, and UCTV, UConn Student Television Station. A special thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm Katie Service.
I'm Rhea Kowalski.
And I'm Vinny Carbone.
And you have been listening to Husky Nation News on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. We will catch you next week, Husky Nation.